I know you're here for football thoughts this time of year. I'll give you some quick ones, but I do want to talk about Hurricane Helene last week and offer a perspective on that from a longtime Florida and beach resident. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 813-902-3576. I'm a paid non-attorney spokesperson for Brandon Legal Group. I appreciate them supporting me, my podcast, my golf tournaments, my life. And they simply want me to convey that they're a full-service law firm, and that includes being available for those of you who are adult males residing in the state of Florida who continue to pay permanent alimony, because permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida since July 1st, 2023. To alleviate your financial obligation or eliminate it going forward, Brandon Legal Group can help you. 813-902-3576 for a free consult or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Pin chasers, I was just talking to my pal Drew Garabo, my radio pal, my golf pal, becoming someone who I'm actually becoming a better person for following the lead life lessons through Drew Garabo, which he hates to hear me say. And Drew and I were talking about Anthony Peroni and how what the Peroni family does for our community. And Drew does ads for Pin Chasers as well. Love their Dollar Mania night. It's not only – now, you don't get unlimited bowling for a dollar. I can ask Anthony to do that for you, but I don't think that's going to stick. Still got to, you know, pay for the air conditioning at Pin Chasers. They have four of them now. Maybe if they only had one, we could get away with a $1 Dollar Mania. But an example of a night where I believe Dollar Mania is Mondays, where starting at like 9 p.m., you pay one price for bowling. I think it's $12.99. It's unlimited bowling. And it's like slices of pizza are a dollar. Hot dogs are a dollar. Pepsi's products are a dollar. That's one example of Dollar Mania. They used to call it a pizza bowl. I don't think they actually call it that anymore, but it's unlimited bowling and unlimited pizza for $12.99. It's either on Tuesday night or a different night of the week. All of these specials are on their Instagram page, at Pin Chasers on Instagram. Go to their website, pinchasers.net, for lane reservations, party planning. And remember, you never pay to rent shoes at Pin Chasers with the cost of your bowling, unlike other places. And they'll even offer you a free pair of socks if you need socks to go with those shoes. That technically it's not a shoe rental, right? You're just borrowing shoes. I have to ask Anthony about this. Do you rent shoes if you don't pay? Because the rent implies you pay for the rental. So it's a borrow. Like when you borrow something, you're not paying for it. So you are. You're borrowing shoes. They don't expect the socks back. You do have to give the shoes back. Four locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. I digress. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Let me give you some quick football thoughts to get me in sort of a steady frame of mind for what I need to say later about Hurricane Helene. And as always, I'll try to keep this brief. I don't know how successful I'll be, but I do have – I have to head over to Brandon Legal Group to pick up some prizes for a golf tournament, so here we go. Why did the Dolphins not have a better plan at backup quarterback this year? And I have a longtime friend, and I'm a big fan also of her husband, who's a huge Dolphin fan and does a Dolphins podcast. They both do. I like when they're both on it. He's on it all the time. And I remember her saying to me, because when they cut Mike White, I'm not saying Mike White was the answer, but why'd they cut Mike White? You know, at least he had a game in this league. Remember that 500 yard plus game for the Jets? But I'm going back to the point, and some of you Dolphin fans might have thought this going in. Was there a more injury-prone or injury risk other than Aaron Rodgers? Although the Jets brought in Tyrod Taylor, for crying out loud. than Tua Tagovailoa. And you're just listening to the Matthew Berry Fantasy Show. And Connor Rogers and Jay Croucher. Thank you, Jay, for following me back on Twitter, by the way. Jay used the term egalitarian to describe the Minnesota Viking offense. I thought it was brilliant. I don't even know if Connor and Matt know what that word means. It doesn't matter. It was brilliant. And it is just classic Jay. And it's why Jay keeps me coming back to watch him and follow him on Twitter. And I enjoy him on the Matthew Berry Happy Hour and for other things that he does. But they were talking about how without Tua, I mean, this Dolphin offense looks toast. And they have this supposed brilliant offensive mind in Mike McDaniel. So why the hell is an organization, knowing that Tua was potentially one concussion from never playing again, and we still don't know when he plays again, how he plays again, what this all means, why didn't you have a better plan at number two quarterback? Because some say backup quarterback is the second most important player on your team. We are seeing some backup quarterbacks this year step in and play well. Imagine if Andy Dalton was on the Dolphins. Imagine if Joe Flacco was on the Dolphins. The Jets brought in Tyrod Taylor a year after they lost Aaron Rodgers and their season was over. The Niners, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, a year after they ran out of available quarterbacks who could actually play when Brock Purdy's arm was falling off against the Eagles in an NFC title game, they went out and got Sam Darnold. They never really needed to use Sam, but you see now what they saw in him, right? A couple years back when Dak hurt his hand in Dallas and Dallas turned to Cooper Rush, it wasn't pretty. They kept winning. Cooper's still there. He's capable. That's all you want. I like Tyler Huntley. I do. I've always liked Tyler Huntley. Was it too much to ask of him? Yeah, probably was. Especially how new he was to what was going on and to that offense. But considering the baggage, unfortunately, Tua brings, the expectations, my friend's Dolphin podcast, one of them they talked about going into the year was, if they don't win a playoff game, is the season a bust? And my friend said yes. So how in the world do you not have a better option as your number two quarterback going into this year? How? I know they're tough to find, but other teams did. Carolina has one in Andy Dalton as just one example. Because clearly what you had wasn't good enough because you already went out and got somebody else in Huntley. I was just talking to Drew a little bit about Caleb Williams, who I think in the long run is going to be okay. Caleb needs coaching. Caleb needs someone because that offensive staff in Chicago, and granted, I think Waldron's good, but the more we get away from when Waldron was in Seattle with Canales, I think we see how much of it was Canales, maybe more than Waldron, under Pete Carroll, with resuscitating the career of Geno Smith. A week removed, two veteran tight ends, one of the oldest guys in the league in Mercedes Lewis, and Cole Kmet, and Caleb went to Waldron and said, close the door. Can we have a private meeting with you? And just said, can you more aggressively coach us? Can you more aggressively play call? Can you take the training wheels off this offense? Because we need more. This is an example of why the Bears won't win with Eberflus and why coaches who aren't involved with head coaches who aren't involved with offense don't go to Super Bowls anymore. Why is this meeting happening without the head coach? You're 3 weeks into a season of expectations, and you've got three players, including your franchise quarterback, feeling the need to go to the coordinator and say, yeah, this ain't working. What else you got? We're ready. Throw it at us. And the head coach is not involved. Excuse me? Eberflus got this job because he was a terrific defensive mind. Defensive play calling, defensive game planning. That's what he's good at. That's what he should be doing. Defensive coordinator and calling the defensive plays. And I know it's a step down in pay, and you don't turn down opportunities to be a head coach. But we've been through this with many coordinators before, some defensive, some offensive, who can't handle being head coaches. But in this era, and I keep talking about it here on the podcast, where the only teams that go to Super Bowls are head coaches who have either full or some, because Belichick was some, involvement in the offense. Dan Quinn might be the last one who got to a Super Bowl without really any involvement in the offense. And that was the blown 28-3 lead, which we got to the fingerprints of Kyle Shanahan on three lost Super Bowls the last 8 years. But there's why I don't think the Bears and Caleb do anything until Eberflus isn't there. Because you can't have this going on with your franchise quarterback, veteran players, and your offensive coordinator and the head coach is down the hall and not even involved. Let's do one more. Speaking of coaches, the shot I called before last season that Mike Vrabel would be out without significant steps forward because the Titans were backsliding for so many years. And people still, why did the Titans fire Mike Vrabel? And why does Mike Vrabel not have a job? Hello, you know, tell them to listen to my podcast and tell them to look around because there's other information out there too from some of his former who have said it on Nashville radio. Can I point out that before Jordan Love came back in week 4 and that loss to the Vikings, how Malik Willis in 2 weeks won more games than he won in 2 years under Mike Vrabel? You can say what you want about Vrabel's interest in Malik Willis, how Vrabel may have not even wanted Malik Williams drafted to the team, but Malik Willis in 2 weeks, over a span of what, 8 days, early in a Green Bay season, a season with expectations, won 2 games as a starting quarterback for an offensive head coach, by the way, in Matt LaFleur, which was one more than he won for you, Mike Vrabel, in 2 years with him on your roster. So add that to the list of reasons why Mike Vrabel isn't the Titans head coach anymore and isn't a head coach this year. All right, let's talk about Hurricane Helene while I'm still in a non-emotional state of mind and I've kind of like put football in my head. So I grew up on the Gulf beaches of the Tampa Bay area. My grandparents, my legal guardians when I was very young, not a baby, but kindergarten, first grade-ish. Threw everything in the car. We drive down 75. We're going to settle in the Tampa Bay area. And they chose the Gulf beaches. First, it was an apartment to get just find a place to live in Indian Shores, Florida. Then they found a house on 180th Avenue in Reddington Shores. And that was the house that I lived in while I went to high school at Seminole High School, my entire run there. Then I go off to college. I come back. They're older, so they sold the house. And they moved into this wonderful sort of upscale, not condo, but kind of felt like it, apartment community near the Wine Cellar and the Hilton in North Reddington Beach. And that's where they lived out their remaining days for a long time. I mean, I went off to college in fall of 87. My grandmother passed in 2004. My grandfather passed in 2008. So, I mean, roughly the last 20 years, they loved it there. There was a lot to love about being there. What a wonderful, all concrete construction. You couldn't hear anything through those damn walls. And they were on the top floor anyway. So I grew up on those beaches. And I haven't been over there since Hurricane Helene went by in the Gulf. And it wasn't a direct hit, but the storm surge and what it did to those communities and what I have seen in the videos and on the news and on social media. It's awful. Now, there was one time, grandparents, Elena, 85, where a hurricane was in the Gulf and it just sat there. And it might have been like a Category 1. I seem to remember it was like around 85 mile per hour winds. It just didn't move. We evacuated. We had to get out. Ordered evacuation. Got to go. That was the highest storm, I believe, in Clearwater from Elena until Helene. But the point I want to make is I connect a bit with those communities. And there are a lot of other communities south of there and north of there up through the Big Bend who got it as bad or worse. And I feel for you because there's something special with living in those areas in Florida. There really is. I obviously would have gotten my grandparents out. They would have been with me here in my condo. By the way, I'm fine. I never lost power. I never lost internet, no water damage, no wind damage in my condo. And I have questions about my condo and whether I want to stay here. It's not about weather. It's about other things. But I was fine. Very fortunate. So my grandparents would have been with me had they been alive. But it hits very close to home for me. So I feel for everybody in a low-lying area, a beach community, a barrier island, who was impacted by Hurricane Helene, because and now I see what could have happened while I lived there, and my grandparents lived there, and some of the streets that I used to ride my bike on, or ride in the car as my grandfather drove me to baseball practice or other things, and how you couldn't even see Gulf Boulevard and what these people are going through. And I feel for all of you. And I just wanted to express that a little bit here in a platform that I totally control. That just because I don't live there anymore and my grandparents watched for me, it's not like we don't have a heart. And it's a number of people died who didn't evacuate or who couldn't evacuate. And it's sad. And it makes me sad too. Thanks for hearing that out. Write.todd@yahoo.com is my email. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Ping Chasers. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.